I have to follow that. I just, my goodness, thank you all very much. That was wonderful. Every week, I know, yeah. We'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moment. Oh, here you go. Here you go. There you go. There you go. There you go. There you go. All right. There you go. There you go. Y'all doing all right this morning? This one's mine. It's got a name on it, see, because I got a big head. That's what Miss Vicky told me earlier today. So this one's mine. It still doesn't fit. It's not quite big enough. Somebody must have complimented me earlier. My head's getting all swelled up. Well, today is Christ the King Sunday, and that's why you all have crowns. Today is the last Sunday of the Christian year, and we celebrate Jesus as our King. And I want all of you all to know that we're reminded in Scripture that we are co-heirs with Christ. Yours is little, too. Somebody must have complimented you as well. And as co-heirs with Christ, that means that we will share in the inheritance that Jesus does. And if he is a king, that means we will be kings and queens as well, because we're going to follow in line with Jesus. And we do that, and we follow in line with him because of our love for Jesus and our love for God the Father. And so today, as we celebrate Jesus as king, I want you all to know that you're kings and queens as well. And you guys are going to have an opportunity, I think, to color those crowns a little bit later in children's church. And y'all are going to have the opportunity to learn a little bit more about that, all right? So we're going to pray. And then you all can go downstairs, all right? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much again for this day, for your love and grace. We thank you for these children and for the opportunity we have not only to teach them, but, Lord, also to learn from them. We thank you that Christ is King and that we, as his followers, share in that inheritance. And we thank you for this day, for your love and grace. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you all can go with Miss Vicky downstairs. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Psalm 126. Psalm 126. It is a psalm of David attributed to him. It is a pilgrimage song, a song of ascent, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. But again, I want to remind us that today is Christ the King Sunday. Today we recognize who our rightful King is. We recognize Jesus Christ, and we celebrate him on this last day of the Christian year. We save the best till last. And the next week, we start Advent, right? And we look forward to the birth of Jesus. And throughout the Christian year, we kind of follow along the events of Jesus' life. And it culminates today. It's important that we recognize Jesus' birth, but he is more than just someone who is born of the Virgin Mary. We know that he is also a teacher who goes around teaching and healing and preaching God's word. We know that in the midst of all this, he is crucified and dies on behalf of each and every one of us. And we know that he is buried, and 3 days later, he rises from the grave. And we share in his resurrection as followers of Jesus Christ. And that's not all. Because again, we also celebrate and remember that he ascends to the right hand of God the Father, where he sits as king. And today, that is why we celebrate his kingship. And so as we think on this, as we celebrate this today, I want us to hear from David's words in Psalm 126. When the Lord changed Zion's circumstances for the better, it was like we had been dreaming. Our mouths were suddenly filled with laughter. Our tongues were filled with joyful shouts. It was even said at that time among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Yes, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are overjoyed. Lord, change our circumstances for the better, like dry streams in the desert waste. Let those who plant with tears reap the harvest with joyful shouts. Let those who go out crying and carrying their seed come home with joyful shouts, carrying bales of grain. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you again so very much for this day, for your love and your grace, for your mercies that are new each day. We thank you for the reading and the hearing of this, your word, and we pray that the words you have given to me this day would be your words. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand, and may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Our scripture passage this morning beckons us to come to the Lord, to come to King Jesus with shouts of joy, with celebration, with a joyful noise. And we do this, we are able to come to Him in this way because we can recount His grace in our lives. We can be mindful of the things that He has done in our midst. No doubt, over the coming days, you will share things that you are thankful for. And as we do that, we will be mindful of the things that Christ has done and continues to do in our midst. That's what this passage beckons us to do. And in the midst of that, this psalm is a call for us to recognize those instances in our lives when God has restored our fortunes. This phrase, restore our fortunes, occurs twice in this psalm. And it's what this psalm is all about, the restoration of fortune. This phrase in the Hebrew is a little more complex than our English translation. It just simply says, restore our fortunes. But in the Hebrew, what it implies and what it tends to communicate is that there is going to be divine favor bestowed upon those whom God has divinely punished or cast aside for a time. And so this restoration of fortunes comes about by God miraculously after God has miraculously done something to punish those who have not sought Him and have not been faithful to His call. In a sense, this psalm is a recognition of Israel's moral failings and the joy that comes when they repent and turn to God. This restoration of fortunes, this psalm that we are reading today and that we are considering, is really almost a description of the story of the prodigal son, which most of us are very familiar with. Someone who has gone and taken their things, and the father has allowed him to go and to take what he has and to really just kind of live into the consequences of his actions, right? And then the divine favor that comes back on the son when he returns. His fortune is restored. And that's what this psalm is reminding us of. And as it calls Israel to their recognition of their own moral failings, so it is also a call to us to consider our moral failings. Those moments, those instances when we have turned away from God and sought our own path over His. But fear not, because God will restore our fortunes if we return to Him. God will receive us back when we call upon His name. And we will come to the King with joyful shouts. This psalm, as I mentioned, is one of the songs of ascent, one of the pilgrimage songs. And it was sung by the Israelites as they traveled to Jerusalem to worship. And we know the Israelites traveled to Jerusalem fairly regularly. Certainly several times a year for the festivals and things of this nature. And it's called a song of ascent because Jerusalem is on a mountaintop. And so as they ascended to the holy city, they would sing these songs. As they were pilgrims on their way to this place, they would sing songs. And they would be mindful of the things that God has done. And they would go to Jerusalem to worship God, right? They would go for the festivals, as we mentioned. They would bring sacrifices and things to ask for forgiveness and atonement from God. These trips were often trips of repentance and sacrifice, of forgiveness and celebration. And that's why people continued to return, and they continue to return to Jerusalem on a fairly regular basis to do these things, to celebrate in this way, to worship God. And every time they return to Jerusalem, every time they make that physical act of going back, they are remembering their heritage as those wandering pilgrims who entered the promised land the very first time. And they remember back in their going. They remember back to the time of Joshua as he led the people into the promised land. They remember back to the time of Ezra and Nehemiah after great exile, after they had been cast out. Their fortunes were restored, and they came back to the Holy Land. And every time they return to Jerusalem, they are reliving those memories. They are reliving those instances where God has restored their fortunes, where God has continued to be faithful even in the midst of our unfaithfulness. And upon entering the church every Sunday morning, we embrace and we remember this same heritage as those who have gone astray, as those who return and come back to God. When we enter the church week after week, we tell God, we tell the world, we remind ourselves of our great need for God's grace and love in our midst. And our heritage is a little more full than this one even is. Because, of course, when we come, we remember the entrance of the people into the promised land. We, of course, remember the return of the exiles. But we also remember that on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, some women went to the tomb, and they found it empty. And they went back and they told the apostles, who, of course, didn't believe them. And so when we come and return to this place week in and week out, we remember that we are a pilgrim people, a wandering people, a people who have recognized and seen and celebrate now that the tomb is empty and that Christ has risen. And so again, we remember that He is our King. We come this day to pay homage to our King, to shout for joy to the God of our salvation. Many of us are going to be traveling in the days and weeks ahead for the holidays. We'll enter again into this pilgrimage that is the holiday travels. These are often trips of joy and happy reunion. Can anyone remember singing songs when they would travel in the car with family? I can remember doing that. There's not a lot of songs anymore. There are joyful shouts. Quit it. Don't make me pull this car over. Right? Those types of things. Don't cross the line, right? There is shouting, don't worry. In the SEAL van, there is always shouting of some kind. Sometimes it's joyful, other times it's corrective. But again, when we travel during this holiday season, again, it is joyful. There are going to be happy reunions. We remember who we are by gathering around the table and sharing stories. Right? How many of you will go to family or friends and you will recount stories? Right? And the older we get, the faster we were, the bigger the fish was, things of this nature. But we'll recount these stories. Some of these stories are embarrassing for us, but But the good ones are always embarrassing for the others, right? And we'll recount these stories and we'll remember this shared history that we have. And again, that is why we gather in this place, to share the stories, to celebrate our shared history as the people of God. As you travel over the coming weeks, as you receive guests, family, and friends in the next several weeks and months, I pray that we would continue to be mindful of the joy that we have in Christ our King. That we would continue to remember why it is we travel, why it is we receive these people. Because Christ traveled to us by way of the Virgin Mary. He traveled to Jerusalem like so many before him. And there he was crucified. And there he was buried. And there he rose again. And shortly thereafter, he made another trip. And he ascended to heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And he prepares a place for us. And when we gather around the table week in and week out, we are reminded of that invitation to gather at the table, that Christ beckons us to come, and we have only to respond in the affirmative, to say, absolutely, I will join you. Absolutely, I want to learn more about you. Absolutely, I want to be a part of this time together. I pray that as we enter these times of reunion, we will do so in the same way the Israelites entered Jerusalem time and again, ready to repent, to sacrifice, to forgive, to celebrate, to rejoice in all the things that have been given to us, and all of the times we have had the opportunity to give to others. Most importantly, over the coming days and weeks and months, I pray that we will remember our King, that we will remember all of the things that He has done and continues to do, and that as we are invited to this table, so we will invite others to the table. Amen and amen. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for your invitation to the table. Lord, we thank you for your gift of salvation. We pray that we would be mindful of all that we have received, so that we will be ready and prepared to share that with those who have yet to receive it, so that others may be gathered around this table, so that this reunion would be all-encompassing and that it would include all of those who call upon your name. Lord, keep us mindful. Keep us ready. Keep us diligent. And as we continue to travel, as we continue to wander, as we continue this pilgrimage that is the Christian life you have called us to, may we sing shouts of joy. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.